Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller, and this is NPR News. We're a week and a day from Election Day. Voters are hearing fresh news about Hillary Clinton's email server. The political junkie Ken Rudin joins us. Hi, Ken.
Trick or treat, Carrie.
Yeah, it's a trick if you're Hillary Clinton's campaign, isn't it? Or
well,
yeah, no treat.
And a possible treat for Donald Trump's campaign, exactly.
If you have questions for Ken, send them to me via Twitter, at CarrieMPR. So, Ken, here is your not-so-mysterious sound of the week. Remember this?
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who was that man, and why was he not right?
That was FBI Director James Comey.
Good one, Ken.
That was Bernie Sanders, who actually, we're not sure of exactly what he meant, but this was, I think, the first debate with himself and Hillary Clinton, saying, look, enough about the emails already. There's other things to talk about. And, of course, when we heard from James Comey back in July, we thought that was the end of the email story as well, because he said there's no indication that there's any reason to bring any further investigation or any indictment. And we still don't know if there is any information at all because of what Comey said, or at least what the letter indicated that he sent to Congress on Friday, that those hundreds of thousands of emails that were found in Anthony Weiner's computer. I can't believe I'm mentioning Anthony Weiner's name, which is so awful. Oh. But it may have classified information. It may have connections to the Clinton investigation. We don't know any of that stuff. And yet, meanwhile, with 8 days to go before the campaign, before the election, voters still don't know what to make of this.
Do you get the sense, Ken, that Comey is not going to speak again on this until after the election and after he has more specifics on the investigation?
But
or is he going to feel forced to?
He has to. I mean, first of all, there are a lot of people who said that he had no business saying what he said, or at least in doing what he did on Friday without knowing exactly what was going on, because usually you have these investigations in private, and if they have something to say, then they say it. But Comey from the beginning, I mean, this is kind of like a backhanded compliment to Comey, but he pledged from the beginning to be transparent. And if he got this information and didn't act on it, and something did come up and in weeks later after the election, then, of course, he'd be accused of by the Trump people and by many people of suppressing the news. So I think he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't, either way. But my goodness, to get involved in the presidential campaign as of Friday with 11 days to go is just unprecedented.
You know, I think just an explanation here real quickly of why these emails have been discovered, quote unquote. The federal officials are investigating Anthony Weiner potentially texting explicit texts with a 15-year-old girl in North Carolina, right?
That's correct.
So they go looking for data and information.
Right.
Because he's married to Huma Abedin,
that's
Weiner,
exactly it. Right.
Then,
and so they
go ahead.
So I was going to say, and so looking through his computer, they found perhaps a trove of 100,000 or more emails that, one, they may have already seen,
right,
because Huma Abedin has given up a lot of her devices and cell phones and things like that during the FBI investigation, or not. And so it was almost like they were not looking for Hillary Clinton's scandal. They were looking to find out more about Anthony Weiner and his scandal. But because all these emails are sitting on his server or his laptop, the FBI agent said, well, wait a second, we may have something here. But again, the key word is we may have something. And I think that's what voters have to rest on for the next 8 days.
Is the danger here, Ken, for Hillary Clinton that...
You don't mean Carlos Danger, do you?
Yeah, I do not mean Carlos Danger.
No. Okay,
that's
sorry.
A nickname that Anthony Weiner used. For all of you who are not following this as closely as Ken apparently is. Jeez. Is the danger for Hillary Clinton that even people who say they're going to vote for her have reinforced questions about her trustworthiness, and one poll put that at about 30%. And these people just kind of throw up their hands and go, you know, even though I probably would have voted for her, I'm not going to make the effort. Is that what she should worry about?
Yes, I guess so. Look, there was a new, first of all, there's two things that happened. First of all, on I guess it was yesterday, And this is too soon to really gauge whether this James Comey bombshell is affecting the numbers. But a new ABC News Washington Post tracking poll not only has the national race at 46-45, with Hillary Clinton up by 1 point, but it also shows her with the highest unfavorables she's ever had in the campaign, 60%. In the ABC Washington Post poll, 60% have an unfavorable view of Hillary Clinton. 58% have unfavorable view about Donald Trump.
Wow.
This is not where Hillary Clinton thought she would be. Certainly in the aftermath of the three debates where she seemed to be pulling away and Republicans were deserting the Republican candidate. I still think that, though, that with 21 million people having already voted, with most people having made up their minds weeks in advance, or even right, if not even longer, I don't know what it changes. But those who may be undecided, or Kerry, as you say, those who, you know, who are saying, well, maybe do I want to come out now? And we've seen some indication in some early voting states like Florida, where the African-American vote is not as strong as it was 4 years ago, mm-hmm, when, of course, Barack Obama was on the ballot. But if some people say, well, maybe I won't come out, that's their biggest fear.
We have a question here on Twitter, Ken, from a listener who says, do they count absentee ballots and early voting when the polls close on November 8th?
That is correct. No, we know where they're coming from right now, the early voting, the mail-in voting, the in-person early voting, but we have no idea who they're voting for, and we won't know until each state closes its polls on Election Day.
Okay, so if that's true, why is it that we're hearing stories and the New York Times has a piece on this on the front page today, that we're hearing that Democrats are leading in early voting states? Are they looking at just heavily Democratic areas?
No, not even areas. We know that, in other words, let's just say I am a registered Republican and I decide to have a mail-in vote or early voting, they'll know that Ken Rudin, by their records, is a registered Republican or a registered Democrat. That's all they know.
I see.
They know that more registered Democratic voters are requesting early voting or mail voting than Republicans, but they have no idea who they're voting for.
If you have a question for Ken, the political junkie, you can tweet it in at Kerry NPR. Ken, I want to ask you about the ground game, because that's really where the elections are won and lost, especially in these battleground states. What does Donald Trump's ground organization look like a week out? Because he hasn't spent a lot of money on that up till now.
That is a great question. And I always go back to 2008 or even 2012. Both Barack Obama and Mitt Romney had the same amount of money basically to work with in the campaign. But Romney put a lot of it into national TV ads, whereas Obama had the ground game, the get out the vote effort, the knocking on the doors. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were very, very strong organizing in early voting states, the North Carolinas, the Ohios, the Floridas. Donald Trump basically has ceded that effort to the Republican National Committee, which has never been the kind of, I mean, usually it's the campaign that does this. So for all the talk about, well, is Hillary Clinton's superb organization overrated? I say no, because this is the kind of stuff that gets the voters out, the early knocking on doors in these key states, which Donald Trump has not done so far at all.
And Ken, you'll remember that the Romney campaign going into Election Day thought that they had the edge, thought that they were going to win, and the Obama ground game ended up turning that around. Or maybe they were in the lead all along, but they surprised the Romney campaign with
That's
the turnout,
exactly
right?
True. I mean, there's a famous scene of Karl Rove on Fox News. He said, there's no way we're losing Ohio. And Megyn Kelly actually took a stroll into a different room to show how that happened. Vin Weber, who's a good friend of mine, I'm sure a good friend of yours, told me that he was convinced the Republicans were going to win Ohio, just convinced of it. And Vin Weber is a very, very smart guy. He'll tell you if they're doing well or not. He's very honest. And he was stunned by it. And I think it had to do with the Obama ground game.
So of these battleground states, which ones are you really going to be focused on in the next 7 days?
Well, everybody talks about Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania, that if you win two out of the three, you're almost sure of winning. I think it's interesting that Florida has tightened. The New York Times poll that just came out has Donald Trump taking a 4-point lead in Florida. Now NBC News has it 1 point for Hillary Clinton. But I think what they're showing is that more Republicans are now coming home to Donald Trump. More Cuban Americans are coming back to Trump. Many people who were thinking of Gary Johnson and the Libertarian candidate have come back to Trump. But again, you know, there are certainly more Democrats than Republicans out there. Donald Trump still has a lot of problems out there. And in states that Donald Trump won, such as North Carolina, the polls show that Hillary Clinton is opening up a lead. So it'll be pretty shocking, maybe not so shocking if Trump wins Florida, because as it turned out in 2012, Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney by 0.9% in Florida. Wow. It was the closest state in the country. It'll probably be close again. But the fact that Georgia is close, Arizona is close, maybe Utah is close, all Republican states, all Romney and McCain states, if Donald Trump cannot afford to lose any of those states, even if he does win Florida.
This is what I was watching John King and his magic wall, you know, where he plays out all these scenarios.
He's a very smart guy.
He is. I mean, I learn a lot from when he kind of pulls out states and gives us the analysis. Yeah. What his analysis shows is that Trump can win Ohio and Florida, and for some of the reasons that you just enumerated, still lose the election. So these two big battleground states that come with a lot of electoral college votes, and yet he still may not be over the top.
Right. Assuming Hillary Clinton wins the Pennsylvanias and the other states that are at the Nevadas and the Coloradas and the New Hampshires. I mean, it's funny. As far as I know, there are 50 states in this union, but really there are only about maybe 10 to 12 that any of the candidates are campaigning in, because they are the ones that are up for grabs. That's probably the problem with the Electoral College. Although I found it interesting, Donald Trump today is campaigning in Michigan.
I know. I was just going to ask you about that.
Makes no sense to me. There's no poll that shows Trump and Clinton close in Michigan.
She's like 10 points ahead of him, isn't she?
I've seen the same thing as well, and it makes no sense to me that he's going to be in that state. But he's done a lot of things that's weird. I mean, he was in Florida the other day campaigning, not so much campaigning, but showing reporters, bringing reporters to his golf resort and talking to people there about how much they like working for Donald Trump. And then the next day he was at this is exactly what he did. And then he was in Washington, D.C. with his new hotel. I mean, there are precious few days left, and you just wonder whether this is a business enterprise or a campaign for president.
Well, Ken, here's the thing I wondered about. When I heard about the Michigan stop today, I thought, is this Trump imposing his will on, you know, these people that are running his campaign are not without experience. Now, it's not the kind of campaign experience that Hillary Clinton has. But, I mean, is he imposing his will on them, or are they really saying your time is best used in going to Michigan, that you're never going to win?
I mean, I don't want to denigrate these people, but to be honest with you, Kellyanne Conway, whom I've known for 20 years, if not more, the thought of her running a national presidential campaign is just beyond the pale.
Really?
The fact that the Steve Bannon of Breitbart News is the top executive of the campaign. I mean, that's just, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. These are not long Republican hand with years of experience in Republican politics. But Donald Trump would say that experience, you know, that establishment stuff doesn't work anymore. The, you know, Romney failed, McCain failed. This is a new kind of politics with a new kind of leadership. But right now, well, who knows? I mean, there's no reason for us to predict what's going to happen. But the fact is that the race has closed since the final debate. And of course, with the latest Comey thing, it does get so many Democrats so nervous, and perhaps even down ballot Republicans very energized.
So here's the most important question of all, Ken. Who was that little white dog dressed up for Halloween that you tweeted out yesterday?
It's my son and his girlfriend have a deaf French bulldog that I am madly, madly, madly in love with. And because he's deaf, he has to know where you are at all times. And he is seriously concerned about leaning between Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, but he won't tell me. Although he, you know who he doesn't like? He doesn't like Barbara Boxer. And I don't know why he said that. But
you better tweet out the picture again because everybody's going to want to see it.
It's a great picture. Thanks.
All right, Ken, thank you. And I will talk to you next Monday, the day before Election Day. How exciting.
It can't happen soon enough.
Really?
I'm actually loving this. Yeah, me too. I want it for 3 more years because then then I can hang myself and everything will be fine.
The Political Junkie back with us at the top of the 10 o'clock next Monday, the day before Election Day.